Welcome to the Generations Broadcast. Kevin Swanson, your host with you. Steve Vaughn also in studio with me today. Just a couple of homeschooling dads trying to put the pieces together in the 21st century and interpret what's happening out there by way of a biblical worldview. And today on the program, we're going to look at what's happening in the state of Colorado first, and then we're heading out to Japan in just a few minutes. But, wow, Colorado's a mess. I'm embarrassed. Are you embarrassed? Steve and I live in Colorado, okay? But trust us, we don't run radio stations in downtown Denver. We've got a little internet gig in my basement. Okay,
they wouldn't let us down there.
No.
I don't think we'd want to go.
Stop us at the border.
Yeah.
But Colorado governance has turned way left. It's flirted with the left for a long time. It's always been a little libertarian, but always pro-abortion. Remember, Colorado was the first state to legitimize abortion in 1967.
Yeah.
Signed by a Republican governor by the name of Governor Love. I'd like to point that out. The irony, the divine irony of providential dealings is always interesting. But Colorado is a bad state for the most part. Okay? And it's bad because Colorado likes to disobey God's law. If there's something written in the Word of God that defines good and evil, right or wrong, Colorado is right there going, hey, we want to take the other side of this. And that certainly happened over the last 4 to 5 years with the Democrats dominating the various branches of government. And Steve, last year we had the worst legislature, the worst fires, and the worst floods in Colorado's history. I like to point that out.
Yeah.
That bugs the liberals because they think I'm making connections.
Oh, yeah. How could you ever make a connection with the...
They think I'm making connections. I just pointed out again and again, worse fires, worse floods, and worse legislature as defined by the laws of God.
Yeah. So, but, you know, they would come back and say, well, correlation is not causation.
That's right. They would say that. They would say that. I just like to point it out, though.
Yeah.
And I do also say that God is sovereign, and God is the source of all natural disasters.
Oh, yeah.
He's right there.
Yeah.
He's sovereign over these things. And I know that bothers them, but that's what the Bible says. And if God is not sovereign, he's not God.
That's right. They like to see it as a pagan thing, that it's Mother Nature.
Yeah.
It's not nice to fool Mother Nature. You remember those commercials?
Right.
Okay, well, today, friends, we have a very important bill, Senate Bill 175, that's before the Senate, and I believe it's before the entire body this evening, and they're voting on SB 175. It has sailed through the committees, and now the full body of the Colorado Senate is taking a look at Senate Bill 175. It's a radical bill. It's called Freedom from Government Interference in an Individual's Reproductive Health Decisions. It's basically a bill that says we want to do everything we can to counter a biblical approach to ethics. We want women to abort their kids whenever, wherever, and whatever, forever and ever. Amen. That's the way I interpret the bill. But I'll read some of the more more precise language from Colorado Family Action. This is a radical bill that would create a fundamental right to abortion among many things defined as reproductive health care in this bill. No Colorado state governmental body at any level would be able to enact a policy that denies or interferes with an individual's reproductive health care decision. The bill is an attempt for legislatures in Colorado to enshrine Freedom of Choice Act legislation into Colorado law. The FOCA bill is an extreme piece of legislation that would have a destructive impact on Colorado's ability to limit or regulate abortion and other items defined as reproductive health care in this bill. It has the potential to eliminate a broad range of laws, including parental notification laws, parental involvement laws, laws promoting maternal health, government programs, facilities that pay for or promote childbirth and other health care without subsidizing abortion, conscience protection laws, laws requiring that abortion can only be performed by a licensed physician, laws regulating school health clinics, on and on and on. What they're saying is, whatever it takes, we don't want to regulate abortion anymore. We want people to abort everywhere they possibly can in the state of Colorado forever. This is the way I interpret the Freedom of Choice Act now being considered by the Colorado legislature. And, Steve, it's not looking good at this point.
Yeah, they did delay it. It was supposed to be voted on yesterday, but one of the senators suddenly became ill.
So they had to put it off.
And they put it off.
Yeah, because the Democrats are in control, And they absolutely want to get this thing through and signed by the governor. Is the governor agreed to sign this thing?
I haven't heard, but okay. I wouldn't doubt it.
Okay, now, Steve, you called your legislator, you told me.
Yeah, I called her this morning and left a message. She is a, you know, quote-unquote professing Christian. She's a Democrat, and she's always voted pro-abortion, pro-homosexual, and, you know,
so a lot of good that's going to do.
Yeah.
Yes. Unless you got saved.
Yeah.
You say, if you got saved in the last 24 hours, I'm just here to encourage you to go with righteousness on this one. It's interesting. A lot of professing Christians out there do whatever they want. You know, you can be a Christian and you can, I guess, be an axe murderer. You can be Adolf Hitler. You can oppose abortion, or you can abort everything. You can support homosexuality and any form of deviant sexuality today under the name of Christ. It's amazing what people can do with that name today.
Yeah, even Bill Clinton, I remember back when he was president, he said that he never signed a bill into law without first consulting the Bible. And my first thought was, yeah, he would look to see if it was against the Bible, and if it was, he would sign it.
Yeah. You know, I guess so, yeah. Yeah, it's just to be sure.
Yeah, just to make
sure that he's not conforming to any of the ethical standards found in the Word of God. And Steve, that's the way a lot of people's religion is they believe in somebody named Jesus, but they don't agree with anything he says about truth, ethics, or reality. So, you know, outside of that, they're very good with Christ. They might accept his priesthood. That is, he died on the cross for some reason, not for sins, because you got to define sin by the law of God, and nobody likes to do that by nature. And so, you know, they deny his prophetic office, they deny his kingly office, but they accept his priestly office. And, of course, this idea of segmenting Christ is another form of a false religion. Well, anyway, SB 175 before the Colorado Senate tonight. We'll see what happens with that. Steve, man alive, our backs are against the wall here in Colorado. Texas went the other direction last year, and that's the good news. Texas did restrict abortion, and the result was the shutting down of a number of abortion clinics in the state of Texas. But in Colorado, something different is happening. We're certainly seeing more of a pushback against Christian values.
Yeah, I thought I'd heard recently that Mississippi actually just closed its last abortion clinic as well, using pretty much the same law that Texas did, that abortion doctors had to have some sort of privileges, admitting privileges, at a hospital within a certain distance, and they didn't have that. I think that's really why Colorado's doing this, is because they're afraid that we actually might find a way, you know, to actually have, you know, a personhood amendment, or that we would pass a law similar to Texas and Mississippi. And so we're passing a law, or they're wanting to pass a law that says it's illegal to pass another law. And so it's a law saying don't pass a law.
As in, nobody can correct this ever again. That seems to be in opposition to the Constitution.
I think so.
Of the state of Colorado and the Constitution of the United States.
It
seemed to me that future generations would be able to repent of their sins and do what Josiah did when he, you know, burned down all the high places and got rid of all the homosexuals and basically exhibited national repentance for a period of 20 years or so. 3 months after he died, God destroyed the place. But there was a reformation there towards the end of Judah's existence, and it was a blessing that Josiah did what he did. Hopefully there will be some Josiah that comes sometime in the future to reverse these things that have been foisted upon the United States over the last 40, 50 years. America, Colorado, has become far more big government, far more pro-homosexual, and far more pro-abortion. They've done what they can to strip back the family, to destroy morality, and, of course, to concomitantly increase the power of government, because everybody knows, Democrat and Republican alike, either you'll be governed by God, or by God you'll be governed. They understand that.
Yes.
And every socialist out there who wants big government understands he has to. He has to corrupt the morality of the family and corrupt the morality of the nation. They understand that. They know that. And they do their best. That's why they're in the legislature. They do their best to corrupt the values of every mother, every family in the state of Colorado, encouraging as much abortion as possible, as much killing of children as possible, to destroy the relationships of fathers and sons and mothers and daughters and mothers and children. And they understand that is the only way that government can tyrannize nations. The only way they can increase the size of government in the state of Colorado is by corrupting the morals of the people. This is something that our forefathers understood, and the Word of God as well. In the book of Proverbs, it does say that with the transgression of the nation, many are the princes thereof. With the transgression of the nation, many are the princes thereof. That's the book of Proverbs. And the liberals, the Democrats, understand that so very well. They must study that. They must have that verse right there in front of them all the time, because they're doing everything they can to increase the transgression of the nations, because they want to come around every year and increase the budget to be sure that the princes will multiply, the bureaucrats will multiply throughout the state. Okay, so that's the agenda of the left. We know that. They know that. We all know that. But we're saying we don't like tyranny. We oppose tyranny, and we believe that our leaders, our righteous candidates that run for office, our statesmen, need to commit themselves to a moral agenda and to encourage the morality of the state in order that freedom and liberty may prosper in the years to come. Either you'll be governed by God, or by God you'll be governed. Benjamin Franklin wrote that so many years ago, and he is right on this mark. Be back in just a moment, friends, with more. You corrupt the nation, what happens? You abort lots and lots of kids, what happens? Well, we're going to take a look at Japan in just a moment. This is Kevin Swanson. The program is Generations. Hey, dads, is it time to get away with your sons to build those relationships? Remember, fruitful relationships is what it takes to have a fruitful life. How you disciple your son has everything to do with the relationship you have with your son. So don't miss a once-in-a-lifetime experience at our father-son retreat at the Crooked Creek Ranch in the Colorado Rockies this August. This year, we will be featuring speakers like Scott Brown, Dan Einerson, Mike Chappa, Steve Vaughn, and yours truly from the Generations Radio program. You'll enjoy outdoor activities, training sessions, including wilderness first aid, mountain survival, blood tracking, as well as sports activities, swimming, high ropes course, rock climbing walls, kayaking, and hiking in the beautiful Colorado Rockies. And we're cutting the price for the 2014 Father-Son Retreat. It all happens August 28th to the 31st at the most fabulous retreat center in the Colorado Rockies. Register today for our Father-Son Retreat at check.org. That's C-H-E-C.org. That's check.org under Check Events on the web. Or call toll-free 877-842-2432. That's 877-842-2432. Broadcast Kevin Swanson with you today as we monitor the birth implosions around the world. We are watching right now the largest demographic shift in the history of the world. 80 countries around the world, birth imploding, according to one study I read. 80 countries, birth imploding. The results are only going to come to pass over the next 40, 50 years. Steve, this will be during the lifetime of our own children. So they're going to be watching some of the most interesting demographic shifts since the worldwide flood.
Oh, yeah.
And,
yeah.
I always make the point, yeah, there was a demographic shift at the worldwide flood.
Going from billions and billions to eight.
To eight, yeah. That would be a shift.
That's
down to eight. Yeah. But we have, Margaret Sanger has done something quite outstanding, quite impressive from one way of looking at it. Margaret Sanger, the person who was the driving force behind the scientific development of modern birth control techniques, is impressive. Her influence, she was the one who raised the money, she was the one who hired the scientists, she was the one that did the work to bring about the largest demographic shift in 80 countries around the world. Very, very impressive stuff. Okay, so the Japanese population is dropping for the third year straight, 25% now elderly. The Japanese population is now down 217,000 people. That's like Colorado Springs. That's like losing Colorado Springs. Imagine losing a city the size of Colorado Springs every year. That would open up some real estate opportunities, wouldn't it, for the rest of us. It's also known as a depression when that happens.
Yeah, because you don't have the people to work.
Yep.
If you don't have the work, there's no taxes.
Yep. And here's the other problem. Worker-to-retiree ratio has dropped like a rock. In Japan, the worker-to-retiree ratio is dropping to one-seventh of what it was in 1950.
Wow.
You understand that? One-seventh of what it was in 1950. In America, it's one-third. we will drop to about one-third of what it was in 1950. But in Japan, it's going to drop to one-seventh of what it was in 1950. And do remember, friends, that the heyday of the modern world, where we all began to live very high off the hog, we enjoy the highest standard of living in the history of the world. I don't think that's an exaggeration.
No.
Places like Japan and America, that all happened between 1950 and today. But now the worker-to-retiree ratio has been destroyed by a bunch of existentialistic, materialistic people that are very, very short-sighted, and they are destroying wealth. They are destroying the possibility of any kind of economic prosperity for the year 2050. Why? Because they're not having kids. They're living for today, and they're living for themselves. Themselves, themselves. That's the story here, Steve. The number of people aged 65 or over rose 1.1 million to 31.9 million, now accounting for 25.1% of the population. The aging population is a headache for policymakers who are faced with trying to ensure an ever-dwindling pool of workers can pay for the growing number of pensioners. Hello? What did we just say about the worker-to-retiree ratio? It's sinking like a rock. What in the world's going to happen by the year 2060? The proportion of people aged 65 or over is forecast to reach nearly 40% of the population in 2060, the government has warned. Meanwhile, the country's main working population, aged 15 to 64, fell below 80 million. As of October 1st, the workforce has dropped 1.1 million. That would be like losing St. Louis, Missouri.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's significant, Steve. That's really significant. Or Denver. Denver's about a million.
Yeah.
That'd be like losing a Denver once a year. So this year we're going to lose Denver. Next year we're losing St. Louis. The year after that we're losing Wichita. The year after that we'll lose. Think about that.
Yeah.
Think about that.
Yeah. And those people who are thinking of themselves now will be those people who are wondering why there's nothing for them when they get to the age of 60 and 70 years old.
Yeah.
That's just crazy.
Well, Steve, for the remainder of the program, I want to discuss this significant, very significant happening. This is more significant than I think anything that's happened worldwide, namely because it's cross-continental, it's cross-national, it's everywhere. You have 80 nations around the world birth imploding right now due to, yes, that birth control pill, but more than that, due to a worldview that has been inherited over previous generations. So we're going to talk about that today, friends, on the program. Now, Steve, I'd like to distinguish between two different kinds of ethics. I think this is important. People need to understand this. There is that form of ethics that defines what is right and wrong, and then there's that form of ethics that defines what is good and evil. And that this distinction is very important. Now, as it turns out, we believe that God is informative on this. God has something to say about this. In fact, if you want to know what is good and evil, or you want to know what is right or wrong, the best place to go is God.
Yeah.
Now, right there, see, this is the worldview conflict we're running into with your senator that you called this morning.
Right.
Okay? Right away, we run into a conflict with this Christian who's got the wrong worldview, that is, the wrong religion, versus Christians who maintain a different perspective. They maintain the idea that there is a God. So these other Christians don't believe there's a God outside of man. We believe there is a God, and that God is God, who has the right, in fact, he's got the obligation, in fact, by definition, he must define ethics and truth. So we go to God, we say, okay, what is right and wrong, and what is good and evil? Now, as it turns out, that which is right and wrong is things like robbing banks or committing certain sexual actions.
Yeah.
Okay? Now, the Bible clearly says there are certain sinful things that men do, as in robbing banks and committing certain sexual acts. Now, there are also what the Bible defines as that which is good and evil. And the measles is evil. The measles is evil. Now, the measles is not necessarily wrong or a sin. You can't walk up to a person and say, you have the measles, you're in sin. As if the measles themselves are sin. Debt is not necessarily a sin, but debt is an evil. And birth implosions or barrenness, according to the Word of God, is an evil. Not necessarily a sin.
Right.
But an evil.
It came about because
of sin. You don't want to walk up to somebody who has a hard time having children and say, you're in sin. because of this barrenness. The barrenness itself is not the sin. Now,
right.
We all have sin problems, so we all have to deal with that. But here's the problem. You walk into a college classroom, a community, or a certain church service, a religious service somewhere, and you come upon 500 people in this community. The birth rate is 0.8. They're in debt up to their eyeballs. The women are leading, and all of the sons are turning into homosexuals. And we would say, now there is a group of people, there's a community that is suffering evil, and they're cursed. They're under the curse of God. Now, they would say, now, typically this would be the way that I think a secular university would look at this. They'd say, hey, we've got a birth rate of 0.7. We're in debt up to our eyeballs. All the women are leading, and all of the sons are turning into homosexuals. We must be in the most blessed state we have ever been in the history of the world.
See,
do you see the difference there? Now, that's a difference in values.
Yeah.
See, it's a huge difference in values. Because, see, they define their values by Margaret Sanger, John Maynard Keynes, and Karl Marx. We define our values by the Word of God. So that's the difference there. You see, that's the difference in worldviews. Now, some of you may be thinking, well, where in the world is he getting this? The Bible. Deuteronomy 27:18. These are the curses that come upon those who turn away from God. It says here, cursed shall be the fruit of your body, the fruit of your land, the increase of your offspring, and the flocks of your sheep. Cursed you will be when you come in, cursed you will be when you go out. The stranger that is within you shall get up above you very high, and you shall come down very low. He shall lend it to you, and you shall not lend to him. He shall be the head, and you shall be the tail. Moreover, all these curses shall come upon you, and shall pursue you, and overtake you till you be destroyed, because, here it is, you hearkened not to the voice of the Lord your God to keep his commandments and his statutes that he commanded you. So there it is, Steve. And we could go on. Isaiah chapter 3 speaks of women and children leading, and Romans chapter 1 speaks of the curse of homosexuality. So you get through the Word, you're going to find the Word has much to say about these things that constitute evils. And here's the deal. If you see a society of this sort, you got to repent. You got to say, God must be sending a message to us. Now, we're not saying that birth implosions and debt are sin necessarily, but they certainly are the consequence of not walking in God's commandments.
Yeah, and this came about because of the fall, because man wanted to determine for himself what was right and wrong and what was good and evil. He's saying, you know, if I were God, so every sin that comes about is essentially saying, if I were God, I would have made this okay. Mm-hmm. And so God's not doing a very good job here because he didn't make this okay. I would have done that. I can be better than God. And so that's really what the original sin was bringing about. And so man himself determining his own existence, determining, you know, he's creating God in his image rather than man being created in God's image.
Now, Steve, one of the applications to this is that we need to go after that which is sinful. And I think one of the mistakes that has been made by some in the Quiver Full movement is that they talk about the blessings. They emphasize the blessings. But oftentimes we're not getting back to things like faith and obedience to the clear principles of God's Word. For example, I mean, the clear principle of God's Word is thou shalt not commit adultery.
Right.
Thou shalt not murder your child, even in the womb. And I would add that because I think the Bible bears that out in Exodus 21 and elsewhere.
Right.
So the point being is that you can't force a birth rate.
Right.
You can't walk into a community and force a birth rate. And if you make the birth rate the whole issue or the major issue, whether it be in a church or a ministry or in a community, I think you're going to come up short on that. You got to go to the root issue. The root issue is materialism.
Right.
See, it's feminism. It's the root issue is, I think, betrayed in the fact that the average home in America is twice the size it was in 1900, and each house has average half the kids.
Right.
So what's the factor there? Four, right?
Yeah. So that's a factor
you
of four.
You took math in college,
yeah,
didn't you?
Yeah, so that's a factor of four.
That's a factor of four, yeah, in terms of the ratio.
Right.
So way, way more square footage, way less kids. Now, that speaks values. And that, those values for the average American. Now, we're not saying that every person with less children is any worse off than anybody else in terms of where they are in terms of their relationship with God, et cetera, et cetera. We're not saying that. What we're saying is that you come upon a society where they've got twice the kids, or twice the square footage and half the kids, and they did that purposefully. We have to believe that there were people out there making choices to bring all that about. Right, yeah. They determined what would happen. They chose to get bigger houses. And by the way, they're in 10 times more debt as a percentage of the GDP. So yeah. You know, it's kind of a ripoff. But they, you know, they got twice as much house, 10 times more debt, and half the kids. And they did that purposefully. People made purposeful choices, and those purposeful choices placed, I believe, drywall above kids. They like drywall more than children. This is the average American loves their drywall. They love drywall. And they could rather not have these kids. They're irritating. It's like my wife was out Safeway a couple of years ago and had five children in tow, and some lady said, "Are all those yours?" And she said, "Yep, five blessings." And the lady said, "I've got two. You want them?" You know, that's the attitude out there. The attitude is, somebody get rid of these stinking kids, because I just want to enjoy these materials and my fifth cappuccino on any given day all by myself. And these people, these little people get in the way of that. I think materialism is the thing that we've got to go after here, Steve.
Yeah, and the other side is also true. If all you're doing is having kids for the sake of having kids so that you can be proud of the size of your family, you've also missed the point.
Sure.
And so that's, I think, where you're talking about the whole Quiverful movement, that they could be, they could have some error in their movement, because if they're only having kids for the sake of having kids to show that they are blessed, I can't agree with that.
The focal point of our lives is not to be materialists. It is to glorify God, to enjoy Him forever, to seek the kingdom of God and His righteousness, to serve others, to give up our lives for Jesus Christ, and in the process of that, God may bless us with 10 kids. Praise God. But if we put the cart before the horse and we say we seek the blessings, or we seek the blessings in some competitive sense to show the world that we're better than everybody else, then obviously we're still not walking in God's ways. And I think we'll still be subject to his chastisement. Yeah. Here's another reason why the birth rate has fallen so dramatically in places like South Korea. Remember, South Korea's birth rate in 1960 was about 6.0. It's down to 1.1, pretty much the lowest in the whole world today. That's impressive. From 6.0 to 1.1, and they didn't do it by way of the coercive one-child policy like China did, where they forced infanticides, forced abortions, you know, just blood dripping off of their fingertips. The tyrannical pharaoh-type government was out there killing kids right and left. No, no. In South Korea, it all happened by way of people making their own existentialistic choices. And here is what sociologists say about what happened in South Korea. This is the Japanese Journal of Population, Volume 3, Number 1, page 50. Young women wish to have their own roles in life other than that of spouse and mother. These younger women no longer comply with the family arrangements that mothers or grandmothers took for granted. They have invested a lot in education, education being very key, obviously, in shifting worldviews. And they have their own personal expectations and ambitions. They are looking for financial autonomy. They cannot tolerate any subordination to male authority. So there's the root of it. That's the root of it. This is, my friends, the other side admitting to what is producing the birth implosions that is killing societies, civilizations around the world. What is it? What's happening here? The answer is individualism, a refusal to any form of submission on the part of young women. And that, my friends, is sin. That's a violation of God's laws. Pure and simple. If a young woman rejects the family economy where the heart of her husband safely trusts in her so that he shall have no need to spoil, Proverbs 31, clear passage in the Word of God, and they refuse to submit to their own husbands as they're required to do from Genesis 3 on into Ephesians 5, et cetera, et cetera. If they are rejecting God's laws, they are in sin. And the purpose of preaching the gospel in Japan and South Korea is to bring these women to repentance on that issue. Now, if they came to repentance on that issue, Steve, I'm guessing God would bless that nation again with a decent birth rate, and the worker-to-retiree ratio would not be one-seventh of what it was in 1950. Okay?
Yeah. And just in case you think that the United States has escaped this, just this morning as I was coming into to Kevin's house, I'd heard that our worker-to-recipient of government money ratio, 86 million people working, 148 million people receiving from the government.
Oh, you're kidding me.
86 million workers, 148 recipients. We are almost at 1-2.
We're back to bread and games. Bread and games. That was the end of the Roman Empire. It was bread and games. Bread and games. Of course, they did not destroy their family as we have done here in this country. But we've destroyed our family. We've destroyed the family units, the basic social units in South Korea, Japan, and the United States. And we have incorporated socialism as something of a pseudo-solution to our problems. But government will not be able to solve this problem because we have undermined our civilization, the basis of our civilization. And we have also created a welfare state. And by the time you've got 120 million to 80 million welfare to worker ratios, friends, now they can vote themselves a raise with every election, and it's over. It's over. The economy is over. So abandon God's laws for government and for family, and you'll see a destruction of an entire society. That's the direction we're headed, unless there's repentance. And we would call the nations to repentance on these issues, starting with those who are listening to the program right now and those who refuse to repent. Jesus said, if you refuse to repent, you will likewise perish. And that truth, I believe, still exists to this day. And that judgment sometimes comes in a temporal sense. Certainly there is judgment in an eternal sense as well. So repent of clear sins, the sins of covetousness, materialism, and the sins of pride, individualism, feminism, a refusal to submit to the God-appointed father in your life and to the God-appointed husband in your life. And I know that's a turnoff even to say that to the average person listening, but that's the Word of God. Repent on those issues, come to Christ, seek His forgiveness for your sins, and enjoy His Holy Spirit as He changes your life and restores to you the joy of your salvation. That, my friends, is the gospel of Christ. And I believe that's the solution to every social problem. Well, my friends, you can interact with the program by emailing me directly at host@kevinswanson.com. You can also hear the program anytime, anywhere in the world at kevinswanson.com. This is Kevin Swanson inviting you back again next time as we continue to lay down a vision for the next generation.